You're listening to Magic 102.1.
Good morning. Welcome back to Sunday Morning Live. Let's get right into it. We're speaking with Professor Gerald Tree, South Texas College of Law, who comes highly recommended by our good friend, Ms. Sherry Williams, over at Channel 11. Good morning, Professor Tree. How are you?
Good morning to y'all.
Well, let's first of all, give the number out for folks to call in with their questions and concerns, 713-390-5102. Now, we're going to talk about the case this week, and forgive me if I don't get my wording right in trying to talk about this case, because, of course, I'm not a law professor. You are. It was an acquittal in the case, Officer Blomberg, who was acquitted in the official oppression case against Chad Holly. Did I word that properly?
Yeah, you're right on the money. The thing that happened, of course, is let's focus on that video. This young man, Chad Holly, who is later to be convicted of burglary. He was caught running away. He was then held on. It seems to all of us who saw the video there needed to be a lot of explaining of why you would beat that boy up the way you did. He didn't seem to be resisting. And most of us, just based on the video, assumed that it wouldn't be an acquittal. It'd be guilty of something, especially since the charge was just official oppression, which is not even a felony, it's a misdemeanor.
Okay.
But the interesting thing that happened, and we got to stay focused on this, is not only was this acquittal by an all-white jury, you also have three more of the former or ex-Houston police officers who are still awaiting trial on the same charge. So it's the same video. Perhaps the jury is looking at what type of responsibility individually each one of the officers may have had, because this officer, according to his lawyer, had the least responsibility. He did very little. But then again, our eyes can teach us things that we don't need other people to tell us.
Now, there were more than four officers involved in that video, from what I have seen.
That's
why
right.
Were those four officers chosen? What was it about those four officers that stood out?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was a good lawyering by the defense lawyer to get this case up first. The other officers that are charged, the district attorney wanted to try all four officers together, but the defense lawyer's got a severance to where each one of the four cases will be tried separately. So if you don't like the result in this one, hang on. There'll be three more chapters of the book waiting for us.
Now, and I'm sure that's going to create some concern, because if one officer is acquitted and then another officer with the same evidence is found guilty, and it's going to create some concern.
Well, but it may not be the same evidence, because if you accept the defense theory that you focus on what each individual officer did, under even the government's theory, Officer Blomberg was probably the least involved, even though being kicked about the head or arms, to me, is involved. The jury said it was not official oppression for whatever reasons that they may have had. But the other, not only could you have three other results that are inconsistent, Ben Hall, who is Chad Holly's civil lawyer, has also filed a civil rights lawsuit civilly. So you're going to have, in the Chad Holly case, while that case can't be retried in the state system, you're going to have a civil case involving this young man dealing with a federal statute of whether or not this was an intentional violation of his civil rights.
Now, will those each individual officer be tried civilly, or will that be a civil suit against the city of Houston?
Right. Yes, what's happened and what Ben did is file a lawsuit against HPD and against these four officers. What will happen, you can't really sever in a civil case the way you can in a criminal case. And so you're going to have all the conduct of the police department and whether or not the harm that was done was a result of what the law calls a policy or practice of the city that led to this. So like I tell the viewers at Channel 11, if people don't like this result, hang on, because there's many, many more chapters coming involving not only Chad Holly, but involving this video.
713-390-5102 for our listeners. Please get in on this conversation. Now, I wanted to ask you, the charge was official oppression. And I wanted you, if you don't mind, explain that, go into a little bit more in depth about official oppression as opposed to assault. Because me as a layperson, I see the video. What is the difference between an assault charge as opposed to official oppression?
And on the Legal Journal show on Channel 11, I must have got 50 questions that are same or similar to that. Why wasn't the charge upgraded to a felony? And the answer under the law from the district attorney, and I think she may be right on this, that the statute requires more severe bodily injury. That is, if Chad Holly had been hurt worse, then it would have been a more serious charge, a felony. But it's not the DA's fault. It's the law's fault that based on the harm to him, this only amounted to, according to the law, to official oppression.
All right. You mentioned it had to do about the injuries, but wasn't this child beat up to the point that he had to be hospitalized? Wasn't that kind of brought all this to...
See, you're asking all the right questions. The problem was, according to his civil lawyer, the answer is he was beaten up badly. According to the district attorney, he's beaten up badly. But according to the evidence that the government had that went to the grand jury only thought the harms that were present were not major injuries. And the young man was up and at him a little bit later. And I hate telling people this, but sometimes the extent of the harm or the amount of money, for example, taken in a larceny really constitutes what type of crime, the seriousness of the crime. And like I was mentioning the other day, that you have some individuals who think this case is over, but not only is it not over, maybe the issue of significant harm is going to be relitigated in the civil case. And here's another possibility. The United States Department of Justice may take a hand at the table, because quite often in civil rights cases, if you have an acquittal or something that is not perceived as justice in the state courts, the federal courts also have jurisdiction separate and apart to determine if they want to indict. So, like I'm saying, I want everybody to take a deep breath and realize this thing is so far from over. It's just barely beginning.
Right, right. Now, question, larceny. Larceny is burglary.
No. I'm just using that as a comparison. I'm saying under the theft statute, forget Holly for a second, that if you go out and steal some money, the amount of money you take dictates the type of seriousness of the crime you'll be charged with. The same way with the official oppression statute, that it is there for harm that is caused by official misconduct when you don't have a great number of physical injuries. If you have significant physical injuries, it could have, according to a grand jury, been a felony. I was just using that as an analogy.
Gotcha. All right, now let's go to the phones, because the phones are hot this morning. Let's go to line two. Charlie, good morning. You want to talk to Professor Gerald Treese, South Texas College of Law?
Yes, Professor, in regards to the DA's office, as far as the conflict of interest, it's my understanding in the Trayvon Martin case that they had a special prosecutor. I had a chance to talk to Pat Lykos a couple of days ago, as well as I had a chance to talk directly to her brother that's over in the county attorney's office. And I'm just curious in regards to a conflict of interest, being at the fact that she would have to make that determination. Is there any way that the people, as far as a public outcry, can at least ask that question, ask for, is there a conflict of interest between the DA's office with these police officers?
Charles, thank you for your question. I understand that any time there's a conflict or a potential conflict, it's not only it's a question that can be aired, it's almost a responsibility of the community. That's why we try, under the First Amendment, to do everything in public with as much transparency as possible, so you can have people's reactions. So you don't just have to get the government story. Should it be part of the dialogue? Sure. Can people file motions? That is, to question it? Sure. But at the same time, I've known these people for a long time. I've never viewed that as a conflict. The fact this professor doesn't view it as a conflict doesn't mean it's not a conflict. And it also could well be part of the dialogue that leads to questions that have been raised, such as, but they're raised on the side of the defense, which is, can these officers get a fair trial based on pretrial publicity? So all that goes into the same pot to be stirred up. And believe me, it will be, because these other cases, according to the district attorney, will be tried. And it seems to me that the bottom line is everybody's got to do better. More African Americans have to show up. More minority groups have to show up when they get a jury summons. I saw some data last week dealing with, from the clerk's office in Harris County, the disproportionate number of jury summons that are delivered to African Americans that are ignored, that are not returned. And that's not just an obligation, that's a duty. People need to show up to take part in the process. If you don't take part in the process, then I think that you find this idea of participation. So I'm encouraging everyone. I think one of your later guests is going to talk about voting. Well, I'm here to talk, show up for jury duty if you get summoned.
Yes. You don't like the outcome, then you have to participate in the process so that you can affect the outcome. Let's go to line three now. Mark has been holding. He has a comment on the case. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Val?
Good morning.
I don't have a question for the guy on the there.
Professor
right
Gerald Treese?
I'm
sorry, Mark. I can't hear you.
Well, I don't have a comment for you at all because what I just heard from what you just said about injuries or whatever, that's what they based that on, regardless of an assault on a young man, in which, you know, where they going to say, well, it wasn't injuries or whatever, but that's not my concern. I think if we got a brother that how hypocritic Pat Lyko is in this Harris County district, is there's a father by the name of Bishop Montgomery that has a son that's in jail today right now that he was charged for a crime, which they knew that he was innocent of the crime. They overturned that decision. And the problem, what I'm saying is that they dismissed all the charges on this young man. But then again, they backdoored, and Pat Lyko went and put more charges on this young man. And after she met with Quanell Lexnam, she said that she could have filed criminal charges, if I'm not right or wrong, but she could have filed a felony charge against him, assault against him, but she said she wasn't going to do that. So it's a hypocrite when it comes to black folk, but now she don't want to file criminal charges against this police officer. With the evidence that this guy just come in and telling us, well, it all depends on this injury, the hurts or whatever. But then we finna go all the way back to the Trayvon Martin case. Well, now since they see the blood injuries are on the back of this young man here, we as black folks ain't never gonna look like we're gonna get a fair trial in this justice system here. And we are going out there. We're not getting jury summons, but when we do get jury summons in the case with the police officer, and I'm giving you facts evidence, there were 19 jurors at the end. Two of the black juries were struck completely out of this thing, and they had made it to set it up for it can be a whole white jury. Now, what that police officer got, he got a fair trial, and I'm not mad at that. But I think that all the black African-American people that are in trial right now in Harris County should have the same right to have a black jury for their peers. They should have juries of their peers. And if you can't get it, you got to keep on getting it until we get it.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. I understand your passion and concern. Professor Treese, let's address that, because there is some issue as far as a jury of your peers and what we think it means and what it really and truly means as it relates to the law. Can you explain the difference, that nuance?
You bet. And I hope everyone listens carefully. I know it's early on a Sunday. It's hard to catch everything. Sometimes we lawyers talking sound like a foreign language. But this is very, very elementary and very important. This perception of lack of justice, the way to address that is participation. And I know this last caller, from what I understand, he's upset about a couple of things. But the idea of ignoring a jury summons and not showing up, let me tell you what happens when you do that. What happens is you have a disparate or totally unfair group of people that are sent to the courtroom. In other words, the clerk's office assembles everybody that answers the jury summons in the jury assembly room. They are then sent, and depending on how many jurors are requested by a judge. In this case, it was 77 because they anticipated a lot of strikes for cause. And there were people who already made up their mind about the case. But if you look at the original data, there are fewer African Americans that show up for the jury call, that is, the original jury summons. Now, I'm encouraging everybody that if you don't show up, then what happens is that you allow a disproportionate number of people to serve on a jury because you have non-African American groups that are showing up. And here's the point. The lawyers then look at the people in the room that were sent from the jury pool, in this case 77. They get to strike as many as they want for cause. That is, for cause means people have made up their mind about guilt or innocence. After those strikes, there were very few African Americans left. And then the defense took out the others, the other two, based on what's called a peremptory challenge. And one was the person had a long criminal record, which, according to the defense, and the other worked for the DA's office. And so my point was that you wound up with a result that is unconstitutional if it was intentional. And so how do you resolve this? Two ways. First of all, African-American jurors have to show up. And secondly, as a law professor, I have long advocated the end of peremptory challenges to a jury pool. And what that means is that you get pretty much what comes into that door who show up for jury duty unless the people admit to the court that they are prejudiced and cannot give a fair result based on the evidence in the case. And I hope that helps Mark, but I think Mark was talking about a lot of other different issues too. My point as a law professor is to educate. And to educate, people have to get past this idea that the whole system's unfair, so I'm not going to participate in it. And I've heard that from community activists for a long time, or that I don't want to get caught up in this process, or I don't get paid enough for jury duty, or it's too much of a hassle. Well, the fact of the matter is, if that's your argument, then you don't have much of an argument. Because everybody could say those things. But if you show up, it's not just it's something that's there to do. It's part of the process. It's what makes us unique. And I remind my constitutional law students that for years, women and minorities were excluded from all juries. And I'm not talking about the 1800s. I'm talking about the early 1900s. And that once women and minorities could serve on juries, for years, we effectively eliminated them through what were called peremptory challenges that are not for cause, they're just for any reason that one of the sides wants to do. And then there was a Supreme Court case called Batson against Kentucky that said you can't strike people because of race, and you can't strike them not just because of the defendant's right to a fair trial, but because a person has a right not to be removed because of race. But then the peremptory challenge system says, okay, you can still use peremptory challenge. You can't challenge for race, but you have to have some reason articulated in the record other than race.
Mm-hmm.
But it's far too easy to do that. So I'm just saying, show up, and also let's continue our movement to get away, to get rid of these peremptory challenges once and for all.
There you go. Professor Gerald Treats, South Texas College of Law, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning. And we're going to be calling on you more often to answer some other legal questions as these cases move forward. Thank you so much.
And thank your listeners for their interest in the process.
Well, that's what we're here for, to enlighten, to educate, and to motivate. We want you to get involved. We're Sunday Morning Live streaming on myhoustonmagic.com.